We're reading from Philippians chapter 1, and let's return to this text that we started several weeks ago, and we've had several messages in it actually already. It's the section that begins with verse 19 in this chapter, and most of your Bibles probably have a little note there that says this section is called "To Live is Christ," and we've called this Paul Living for Christ. And so we've looked at verses 19 through 21 already, and we'll read 21 to 26 today. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain, Paul writes. But if I live in the flesh, this will mean fruit from my labor, and yet what I shall choose I cannot tell. I am hard pressed between the two. I have a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to remain in the flesh is more needful for you. And being confident of this, I know that I shall remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy of faith, so that your rejoicing for me may be more abundant in Jesus Christ by my coming to you again. Last time, or 2 weeks ago, on verse 21, when we stopped, we briefly noted that Paul's perspective on life and death is that life is for Christ, or Christ is life. And if he would die, that would be profit. And the word profit is a financial term that we find when we invest money, for example, we expect a profitable return on our money. Most people, unfortunately, in the world today, and sadly many Christians, look at death as the end of gain. When you no longer get profit from what you're doing on earth. But for Paul, he understood that death was simply to gain even more. To gain Christ meant to gain everything that there was to gain. And Paul is not worried. If you notice here, there's an interesting play on words in verse 22. Paul says, if I live on in the flesh. And most of the time when we just look at this text, we will assume that Paul is saying, well, if I live or if I die in my body. That's not what Paul is saying. For the believer, and we had a message this morning on our sanctification, and part of that, Pastor mentioned the fact that our salvation is eternal. It is once and for all. Once we are saved, when God has saved us, we're in his hands. Our salvation is eternal. Paul is not talking about the end of his life. He's talking about perhaps his body might die. But in reality, he's alive, eternally alive. And the fact that Nero might put him to death, which he actually did eventually, Paul was beheaded. But Paul says, that's not the end of my life. I'm going to live forever in the presence of the Lord. So the question for Paul is simply whether he's going to live in the flesh, in this body. And if he does, then he would continue to minister. Or if he moves on into eternity, and then he'll just live eternally with God. And so Paul is not concerned yet here about whether it's life in an eternal sense, because he had the assurance of his salvation. Eternal life is the result of our regeneration, as we've been studying in the morning. Spiritual life is forever because it is based on our being united with Christ. We are part of Christ. In Russian, we use the word отождествление. It's a word we use during baptism when we identify with Jesus Christ. Paul writes about this in Romans. He says, we have died to our old self, to our flesh, and we have been raised up or regenerated to a new life in Christ. And so for Paul, whether he lives in the flesh or whether he lives in the presence of the Lord, it was living. It was eternal living. Paul's perspective is that he knows he's in jail. He's handcuffed to several guards at one time, at least two at a time, and two more guarding the gate or the doors of the jail he was in. So there's usually at least four guards guarding him. And Paul's perspective is not that eventually they're going to take him and walk him before Nero, and he stands before Nero, and perhaps he might say something that will cause him to lose his life. He knew that if he was true to the gospel, he knew that if he would present the faith, if he would present the gospel in front of Nero, he knew that would be the end of his earthly, fleshly life. And of course, he's praying and he's asking the believers here in Philippi to pray that God would help him to die as a Christian. If I'm going to lie, if I'm going to live, I'm going to live as a believer. If I'm going to die, I'm going to die as a believer. One of our brothers here, you know, Brother Gromov, a few years ago when he became ill with cancer, and when we visited him, when he first got sick and he was getting ready for his surgery, he says, you know, he says, I have one prayer. I want to live through this illness as long as God gives me, and whether I live or I die, I want to go through this process as a Christian needs to. Правда, брат? Это брат Громов нам такое свидетельство говорил. He says, I want to, whether I live or whether I die, I want to do it as a Christian. What does that mean? You know, the word Christian used to mean something in society. To be a Christian in the world of Nero in the first century, it was something. Today, a Christian can mean a lot of different things. You can meet, I was reading, some churches are starting to have their services in bars over a beer. That is totally outside the context of what the Scripture tells us about what it means to be a believer and to reflect the glory of Christ in our life. When Paul says, be filled with the Spirit of God, he means to be controlled by the Spirit of God. Our speech, our thought, our actions, our words, our behavior. When Paul says, let the Word of God dwell in you richly, it means that it's not the alcohol we consume that's going to control our mannerisms and our speech and our behavior, but the Word of God. And Paul wanted to live and Paul wanted to die as a Christian, as a believer. And so he was concerned primarily that when he goes before Nero, that he would properly present the Word of God in the glorious form that it was. He says, if it means I die, then I'm ready for it. But he says, I know that for me to live is great for you. For me to die would be even better because I'm going to go live with Jesus Christ, he says. But he says, that's a difficult decision or choice for me to make. And besides, our life is in the hands of the Lord. And so Paul submits himself into the hands of God. In the very same way that Jesus in the garden, when he prayed on the last night of his life, he says, not my will, but thine be done. I'm sure Jesus would have liked to live on, to continue to minister in the flesh when he was here in the world. But he knew his time had come to go to the cross to achieve eternal life for us. And so he tells his heavenly Father, I accept what you send me here to do. And that's what Paul is saying here too. And that should be what we look forward to, just like Paul. So Paul has two alternatives in his life. Verse 23. Notice he says that I am hard pressed between two. We have a saying in English that we say you're stuck between a rock and a hard spot. It's difficult to make a decision. You're stuck sometimes. Well, as a believer, we're not really stuck. Our way is forward. Our way is upward. We read this morning that as Christians, we have an upward call. Our calling is from God up on high, and our lives should always be focused on Jesus Christ, the author and finisher of our faith, who is up there sitting at the right hand of God. But Paul says, I am hard-pressed. John MacArthur in his commentary says that it's like being in a very narrow ledge on a mountain or on a cliff someplace. And if you take one step, you'll fall off the cliff, right? So all you can do is keep going forward. They say people that climb rocks or mountains, if you look down, your brain starts to do funny things and you get dizzy and you might fall. But if you keep looking up, when you're climbing up a rock, rock climbers, they continuously go up one step at a time and pull themselves up. Those of you that climb Half Dome with us in Yosemite, you know what it's like to have to hang on and pull yourself up foot by foot, because if you let go, you'll roll down that steep cliff. And if you turn around and you look down, you can have negative consequences. Another way to look at hard-pressed is the way grapes and olives are pressed. To get extra virgin olive oil, you don't crush olives. If you crush them, you will get meat from the body of the olive into your oil, and it won't be pure or clear. Actually, you go back in the Old Testament, you read Leviticus, there was a special olive oil that they used in the lamps that burned in the tabernacle. It had to be lightly pressed, so it would be the clearest, most pure oil, and it wouldn't give off any smoke when it was burning in the tabernacle. But olives are just very gently pressed to get that first oil out of them. Grapes also, for winemaking and for other purposes, for grape juice, they're pressed, but they're not crushed. Okay, and Paul says that I'm hard-pressed on both sides. This is good and that is good. He says, but I'm going to leave it up to Christ. Furthermore, Paul says, I have a desire. I have a desire to leave, but I have a desire to stay. This is a very interesting word in the Greek language. The negative form of this word, desire, is the word that we use for lust in the Bible. And it usually has a negative connotation because lust is usually associated to physical lust or sexual lust between a man and a woman or people that aren't married. Desire is the positive form of this word. And at the same time, there's a connection to the word lust in the sense that lust can overtake a person so he's uncontrollable. He doesn't control himself. Paul is so desirous to be with the Lord that he's ready to go, but at the same time, he's got this overwhelming desire to stay and to minister to the believers in this church at Philippi. And Paul says that this desire, he says it's a great desire. He says, it's better to be with Christ, but it's also good to be you, because verse 24, because it's needful for you. Paul was practical. Paul had a ministry. Paul had a love for believers. And he's telling God, he says, if it is your will that I come back to Philippi. He had spent some time in Philippi. He had departed. This is one of those few faithful churches that had remained faithful in supporting him. And Paul wants to return there and minister to them. He has the desire. This word desire is associated with something that is very pleasant. The most pleasant experience Paul had in his life, he describes in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, and he says, I had an experience where I was caught up into paradise. He says, I don't know whether it was out of my body. I don't know whether it was in my body. He says, I can't explain it, but it was so wonderful. He says, there's no words on earth that can describe this experience. But I want to go there very much. And that's how Paul describes this desire he has to go and be there. He says, but at the same time, if I have to stay here and minister to you, I will do that. So Paul says, I have a desire to stay. I have a greater desire to go. He says, but I'm ready to depart. The word depart was used in the Roman world of a ship that was ready to set sail. It had been totally loaded with produce or whatever they were going to transport from one port to the other. And as you know, for the ship to leave port, the sailors need to pull up the anchor. In the Greek, this word depart means pull up your anchor of your life. And Paul says, I am ready for my anchor of my life that anchors me to this life. I'm ready to depart. In another text, Paul writes to Timothy, he says, I am ready to be poured out as an offering before the Lord. In the Old Testament, when you read Leviticus, sometimes people would bring a sacrifice of an animal to God. Sometimes they would bring grains that were burned on the altar, presented to the Lord. And sometimes they would bring what's called a drink offering. It was something that was liquid. It was either a fine olive oil, sometimes it was wine. And this offering would be poured out on the altar before the Lord. And Paul refers to his body as this drink offering, he says, that is being poured out completely, fully before the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, Paul talks about us Christians presenting our bodies to Christ as a living sacrifice. A poured offering being poured out completely, or a burnt offering where you're presenting yourself completely to the Lord. That's how Paul saw himself. He saw himself as this anchor of his life being pulled up. He was loaded. He was ready to go. But if God told him to return to Philippi and minister there, he would do it gladly and with joy. Why? Because Paul is practical. He says, your need is for me to come and visit you again. He says, all of a sudden, he's been thinking about heaven. He's sitting there writing this letter. He's chained to these guards. Have you ever been kind of daydreaming about something beautiful in your life? And then something happens, and instantly you come back to consciousness. That's Paul. Maybe the guards stood up or sat down or changed their position, or maybe the chain as he was writing to the end of the letter slipped off the table and rattled, but Paul comes back to reality. And he says, I'm willing to remain here, verse 26, so that your rejoicing in me might be more abundant. More abundant. Abundant means the most that's possible. And Paul says, as much as they could rejoice and be happy for him, and for him to come and visit them again, and to minister, and have a wonderful time of fellowship together. He says, even more so in Jesus Christ will be my coming to you. You can imagine if sometimes it might take a year or more for news to go from one city to the other, from Paul's letter to reach these believers. Could you imagine if instead of a letter being delivered to the church by a messenger from Paul, could you imagine if Paul walked in the door that Sunday for church? Can you imagine the joy that these believers would have? That's what Paul is saying. He says, that surprise meeting, that surprise joy that would just overflow in your lives if I would happen to come in. He says, that is what I'm looking forward to if I remain in the flesh. Paul started out this section, he says, in verse 22, if I continue to live in the flesh, that means more fruit on my behalf among you. Fruit is the result of what God does in our life through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 2, we read that we have been saved, we have been created to do good works unto God. That's what Paul is saying. This fruit of my labor, this ministry I have among you. Are you like Paul? Is your anchor ready to be pulled? Is your body on the altar presented to the Lord? Are you like the drink offering that's being already poured out with no reserve? You know how sometimes you pour real slowly so it doesn't all come out at once? Or how an accident happens when you spill something or your glass turns over and it instantly empties. In Paul's mind, he was totally committed to either staying or going. Are you like that? Most of you are young. You have your whole life ahead of you. You have kids. You have work. Have you ever met somebody that suddenly, instantly died? Even at your age, their life is cut short that fast. Paul was ready. Are you ready like that? Are you living every day as if it's your last day? Paul's desire was to be profitable to them. My prayer is that you would desire to live and within the context of our church to be able to minister and bring glory to God with the way you live and the way you serve Him. Amen.